459-2811. Now, the phone number to participate in this show talked about is 459-4036, and we'll open that line shortly. My guests here now are Candace Brown, Shelley Hatch, and Dawn Norris Schott. And Candace, let's hear from each of you your interest in the corridor and the planning, the corridor rezoning plan and the general plan, and how you came to be active in this realm, and then we can get into details about the corridor.
Yeah, so again, John, thank you for having us on, and again, I wanted to just tell everybody out there, put in your pledges for KZSC. This is a wonderful radio station, and I really appreciate the honor of being here. Well, to answer John's question, basically, I've lived in Santa Cruz for over 40 years. I'm a graduate of UCSC, and I really appreciate so many things about Santa Cruz. But a couple years ago, I just happened to read an article about the housing vision, and it was a Chamber of Commerce presentation by the mayor at the time, Don Lane, and they were talking about what it would take to reduce the housing crisis in Santa Cruz, and they talked about a range of housing units of 7,500 to 20,000 units, and of course, this was in the middle of the drought, you know, of the 100-year drought, and I couldn't imagine what that would, how that could even happen, knowing the issues that we have in Santa Cruz right now. So I started looking into it further, realized that there was this corridor plan. There had just been a selection of a corridor work group committee. It was 15 people, mostly developers and real estate people, hand-selected stakeholders by the mayor again at the time. And mostly people on the west side or downtown. There was only one business person from the east side. So again, that struck me because I live in East Morrissey for the last 30 years.
Residents from the east side.
Yeah, and that's Shelley. No individual residents from the east side. So again, I started looking into it further, realized there was this community meeting. So there was an opportunity for us to go to that, and a bunch of us did go. And we started trying to ask questions, basically, just trying to understand the plan as residents, longtime residents here. I was, in fact, myself a renter for 18 years before I bought a house here in Santa Cruz. So, you know, I've been on both sides of the fence. And so, you know, we couldn't get any answers, and we kept being told to sit down and listen to the presentation. So it wasn't an engaged community meeting. We were being told basically what this was going to be. And so that was my idea of a community meeting. And that's when I met Shelley and Dawn. And so that really embarked this two-year process that we've been through right now. We started a neighborhood group. We started reaching out to community members, just kind of word of mouth. We started having the study group at first, just about 15 or 20 of us. It grew from there. Then we were asked to speak at various events, and we put on a few community meetings last summer just to get the word out. We're just trying to get the word out about the fact, because most people do not know that there is this corridor rezoning plan. What that is, it is a transit-oriented development along the four major traffic corridors of Santa Cruz, which are laid out in the general plan, which was approved in 2012. And it was done after a round of meetings for a few years. But most of it done pretty, I won't say in secret, but certainly there wasn't a lot of publicity about it. And even after it was approved, no one really realized what, you know, 2.75 FAR meant, which I can explain, or what 55 units per acre mean. You know, it wasn't put in any context that you could relate to as an individual living into the neighborhood. So we tried to take that information and try to figure out what that really meant. So we realized that that would probably mean 50 to 70 feet. It would probably mean at least 5 to 6 stories, maybe more, depending if it's a planned development. But we were pretty sure about the heights. And so we started sending out flyers. And that's when the city, we got the ear of the city, because then they started realizing that we were, you know, stirring things up a bit. But we want people to come to the hearings. We want people to know and to have some input. And that's what this process is all about.
And that was Candace Brown. And Shelley Hatch is also here, and Dawn Norris Schott. Shelley, do you have anything you want to add right now about how you got involved?
Not much to that, just pretty much what Candace said is very accurate. I had should be looking at what's happening in the other cities that have embraced this smart growth.
Yeah, and just to add to that, basically, this is an urban trend that's been happening over the last decade, and you're seeing it in places like Portland and other places. It's transit-oriented development, and it's assuming that you have transit-rich environment, which means that you have multiple freeways, you have Caltrans, you have light rail, you have BART, and you have a good transit bus system, which we don't have at all. In fact, we've seen over the time where density and population has increased in Santa Cruz in the last 30 years, our population has doubled here, that the bus service has actually gone down at least 20%. So we're going in the opposite direction. But the most disconcerting thing is that this is an idea of promoting housing. And the issue with that is basically that it's mostly market rate housing. It's only inclusionary, what they call inclusionary, which is affordable housing, where it's a set aside affordable housing if it's being sold. Otherwise, if it's rented, it cannot be set aside. So it's all market rate housing, which will inflate the prices even further. It also, as people come into the community, it will increase the median income, which means even affordable housing measures will increase because it's based on median income. So this is going in the complete opposite trend. And this is the research that has been found in the university with Miriam Greenberg and Steve McKay and others, where with transit-oriented corridors, it has the opposite effect. It brings in people with more money, and then they tend to not use the alternative transportation services, and then prices increase, and then you have unaffordable housing.
It ties in with what we were talking about the first part of the program, skyrocketing rents and homelessness.
Yeah, and it's a real issue, and it's something that, you know, when we talk about the corridors, people think that we're obstructing housing, and that's not what we're all about at all. We're trying to get involvement with the community so we can have real solutions to these problems. And there's a great conference that we just went to called the Democratizing of the Green City, the Affordable Housing Crisis. And there's really about 60 measures that have been identified that we can do, and I counted only about 5 or 6 that we're kind of doing in Santa Cruz. So there's a lot of things that we can do, but we really need to find some leadership within the city to do this.
And the phone number here, if you want to join us, is 459-4036. That's the number here, KZSC 831-459-4036. And Don Norris Schott is here with us as well, along with Candace Brown and Shelley Hatch. And Don, what would you like to add in your involvement in this?
I met these wonderful women at one of the at-large community meetings for the corridors. And I just wanted to add that the 3 corridors on the east side are Soquel Avenue, Water Street,
interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't make total sense.
Tell me more about what's happened with reaching out to city staff, and maybe explain more about who creates the general plan and who is creating this corridor rezoning. It's the Planning Commission, and what is your relationship like with whoever is engaged in that?
Well, the general plan was originally produced after they said about 76 meetings over a period of a few years between about, I guess, 2009 and 2012. And I never heard anything about it, so it's even hard to find out who was on the general plan advisory committee. If you try to Google it, it's really hard to figure out. I don't find many minutes or anything, but I'm sure you could find that out with the city. But once it was approved, after it went through the planning and the city council, then it sort of sat there for a while. And there was development, definitely. You're seeing development on Mission and Ocean. You're seeing like 1804 across from Finn's. You're seeing 1111 on Mission Street, these three-story buildings. But these are very poorly designed buildings. There's a lot of code violations, and so they're not really being executed properly. So the corridors work group committee came about after the mayor designated this advisory committee, and there's a special group within the planning department called the Advanced Planning Group, and those are the ones that are driving this process.
Yeah, it definitely is coming from staff from the city. I started reading the general plan and the EIR a lot as soon as I learned about it, and you know, those are just about 12 feet tall, those documents, but there's so much in there that they say they want to strive to do, yet there are all sorts of inconsistencies with this plan, like 65-foot buildings right next to neighborhoods where they feel it's great that they're going to offer 10-foot setbacks from these 65-foot buildings. That's such a great protection. And there is no also protection for historical buildings. This is a process where they want to rezone. They haven't done it yet, and that's why there's still opportunities for people to speak up, to write to the city council, the planning commissioners, to come to the meetings on May 18th. There's another hearing, which we hope people will come with their opinions and be able, educated to speak to this topic.
Yes. So there's opportunities to come to May 4th to the Police Department Community Center. Between it's tomorrow from 6 to 8 to hear about the housing on the university, the EIR, and then the chancellor is going to come to the city council on May 9th at 2:30, and that's a really great opportunity for the community to speak about this, about the housing situation in general, and you know, how to deal with the university expansion, which is a big part of this whole process.
Did you want to say something?
Oh, I.
Yeah, we do. We have a phone call.
Well, let's take the phone call,
okay.
And I can hold it.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks. You are on KZSC with us. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could comment on UCSC taking 4,724 California high school students last year. That's a 27% decrease in 2016 as it relates to the corridor plan on the east side.
Okay. Did you hear that?
I'm sorry, you couldn't hear some of the numbers.
Can you repeat the specifics around your question? Thank you.
Yeah, the question was for Candace. In relation to the planned development on SoCal
by the state, and it's not directly related to the corridors, but what's happened is recently they've been interlinked with the housing element. Now they're saying that because there's been so much pushback on the corridors, now they're saying that it could be used for student housing, but of course it's not going to meet the needs of the expansion which is happening right now with the university. I mean, no one ever thought when the comprehensive agreement was settled right now, half the students are housed on campus, but they're doing that by sacrificing the quality of life of the students here on campus. It's disheartening. It's heartbreaking, actually, because I'm actually an alumni of the campus here. I went to Crown College, lived on campus for 2.5 years. It was a wonderful experience. Now, all of the student lounges are taken up. They're racking up 3 to 4 people in a room, and they're charging them outrageous prices. And that then inflates the prices downtown because they're charging $1,300 per student, and that's a double. Then they can charge that much, $2,600 for a one bedroom, which is what's happening downtown now. That's unheard of. So to answer your question, and who am I speaking with? Is he on there?
Oh, my name is Michael.
Are you a student here at UCSA?
I'm not. I'm a recent graduate of Dominican University in San Rafael, actually.
Yes,
however, I've been a resident of this community for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And right here, and I'm disheartened by how the city is choosing to the development plan of the city at the moment. Because people like me that work here and that work for a living, it's very hard for us to find affordable housing here. And I think there's a lot of pent-up frustration and anger towards the university, especially people that have grown up and lived here and are natives of this town, and that can't find housing, can't find a place to live, and the housing just keeps getting more and more expensive. A lot of us, feel blame the university for bringing in too many students that they can't help.
Yeah, like I said, no one ever thought this would happen. Everybody thought that there were some clauses in the agreement about not, bringing more students by just tripling and quadrupling people in these rooms, which is what's happened, without building more housing. And they have all their reasons, which I'm sure you'll hear if you go to the May 9th meeting with the chancellor, which I hope you do, and if you speak out as a local here, because what you say is a real concern. I've heard it from a lot of people. I've lived here for over 40 years, have a lot of friends and family that would like to stay here, and they're having to make some really hard choices here about staying in Santa Cruz, so I appreciate what you said.
Sure. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thanks for the call, Michael. And
great concerns about the unique and historical buildings that are left in Santa Cruz since the 1989 earthquake. We lost so many, and so many of those were on the National Register, the downtown buildings that classification was removed because we lost so many. So we are very concerned on the east side about protecting many of the buildings. I can name the bigger ones, the Rio, Ebert's, the Buttery, Shopper's Corner, even little Charlie Hong Kong. And I think that the planners have been misleading the city too, saying that they're protected, which they are not. The little blue plaque from Ma offers no protection.
The east side is a very wonderful place for people that live here. And it has a very vibrant little business community. But a lot of those people don't own the buildings, and so they don't have a lot of control of their future either. There was proposed of removing all the parking from Soquel, or Ocean Street on Soquel and Water, all the way to Capitola Road. That there was pushback on that, but that is possibly in the future. So they want to create this expressway through there with these mid-rise buildings. I mean, you can imagine what that's going to be like. It's going to completely change everything.
Literature writing about it makes it sound it's going to be lovely sitting in the shade of the 65-foot buildings at the little cafe tables that we probably won't be able to afford whatever they're selling, and local people won't be able to own the cafe. They'll be corporate chains. Well, I'm just thinking that we have to put forth something that's different, an alternate vision, if you will, east of the river. And I'd like to just take a few minutes and talk about what vision we have for a better plan. Ransom Forty and Seabright really offer the best beach, weather, and soil, and that really darling small town feel. When I envision a beautiful Ransom Forty community,
Commission of Grants Authority District for businesses, I see local homegrown businesses retained and not displaced by corporate chains. Grants Authority businesses and neighbors will be consulted with and have a seat at the decision-making table. Their ideas will be incorporated in the plans. I am for responsible and reasonable growth, growth that works with the existing community, not top-down mandates that have disenfranchised the East Side. Top-down won't work on the East Side nor anywhere in Santa Cruz. We stand for equity and fairness, that the people who live here now get to decide the community they want, not out-of-town consultants and out-of-town staff who will not be required to live with the monsters this rezoning will create. And we are not victims, but rather seekers of justice.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that you can't grow your way out of this problem. And that's what people need to realize. There is about 25,000, you know, there's over 50% of people now are renting. And most of them are rent burdened, which means that their cost of rent is over 30%, even 50%. I think a third are paying over 50%. So you need to seek displacement remedies. There's going to be a big protest May 9th when the chancellor comes. We need to preserve and fund new affordable housing. Affordable housing stocks actually being lost. They're going to convert them into more, these condos, because they see this as a complete gold rush in Santa Cruz. And we need to stabilize the neighborhoods and promote diversity. And again, this is, you know, the ADUs has been a very successful program. I know there's some controversy about it, but there's been some changes in the state that will make it easier for people to have ADUs. They have been fairly well integrated, at least in my neighborhood in East Morrissey.
Tell people what an ADU is.
It's an additional unit that is allowed in a typically a single-family environment. So you can have extended family, friends, or you can rent it to, you know, anybody, basically. And they're nice cottage units, and they work quite well, and they're more affordable, typically.
Is it what's sometimes called a granny unit?
It's typically a granny unit. It's like a cottage
ADU,
unit.
I think, is accessory dwelling unit.
You don't feel like you're being warehoused and taken advantage of with high rents, you know. And they even charge you for a view now, you know, these third-story buildings. You know, I think the ones at the top in the tour that they had were, I think, $200 or $300 more a month. They're now charging $100 a month more for parking. And they're even charging for a small closet, a storage unit, $50 per month. So, yeah, they're just racking up the rents any way they can now. And typically, families are not taking advantage of people when they rent to other people. You know, they're part of the community, so I think they're a little bit more reasonable.
Democratizing the Green City. They did say Santa Cruz has done a better job of providing ADUs, and then with the new state rules, they're going to be less expensive to put in.
First, they have this idea of SRO. The SRO is a single resident occupancy unit, and it's typically units from 250 to 350 square feet, but we have found them to be extremely expensive. They have their own bathrooms and kitchens, but they will allow 2 to 3 people in them, and they're charging like over at the Breakers, which used to be called Brent's 40 Commons, on 630 Water. They're charging at least $1,750, but now over $2,000 for these very small units. So they call them affordable by design, but if you look at their cost per square foot, they're extremely expensive.
You are listening to Talk About. My name is John Malkin, and I'm here with Candace Brown, Shelley Hatch, and Don Norris Schott, and we're talking about the corridor rezoning plan here in Santa Cruz and alternatives to wild growth and expansion. And we have about 4 or 5 minutes left. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call here, 831-459-4036. It's 459-4036.
As we're wrapping up, I just wanted to mention, if anybody wants to reach us, we don't have a website yet, but there is some of these developments are on a website called BrantsAffordyBulletin.org. There's also a petition. If you go to change.org, you can just type in Santa Cruz Density. There's about, I think it's almost 1,200 that have signed online, another 200 or 300 on these separate petitions. far that have signed. But you can reach us on email called eastoftheriverforum@gmail.com. Again, it's eastoftheriverforum, all one word, @gmail.com. We hope to hear from you.
I've lived here since 1989, and when I go visit places like Portland and European cities that are situated on rivers, I always come back and I feel a little sad that there's not more oriented to the river, which is beautiful in parts and could be more beautiful in other parts, sitting and relaxing with people near the river could be really enjoyable. I don't know if it has to do with the potential flooding or the way that downtown is constructed already. I don't know if that's it's a little different than the corridor situation, but I wonder if you have given that any thought, any of you.
Well, it is a levee system, and it was built after the big flood in the 50s, and it's kind of separated the downtown from the river. It does offer, you know, an open green space environment. There's over 100 bird species down there, and there's a lot of proposals of, you know, engaging with the river, but most of that has to do with human activity. They are proposing, though, a big downtown development from Cathcart to Laurel Street on Front to Pacific, and that would be right on the levee with a few thoroughways that would go to the river.
These are 85-foot buildings that will only be 200 feet long each.
Yeah.
So that's really the way we want to see our river.
Yeah, so they're proposing about 500 units down there. They're trying to get the downtown update plan rezoned so that they can have these, as she mentioned, these 250 linear feet buildings. I think it's 70 feet on the river, 55 to 85 feet on the other side. But yeah, but again, they're not affordable, and it's not really engaging with the river and in the ways that you've described, and making it really pleasant for the people who live there.
Can you say again briefly ideas for creating more affordable housing in Santa Cruz? Do you have a few ideas? And mention again how people can contact you and continue this discussion and organizing with you.
Well, we're actually linked with other groups, but we're not directly involved. I would suggest that people contact the Santa Cruz Tenant Organizing Committee and Association. There's actually two separate groups, but they're both really great groups. They're promoting Just Cause Tenant Protections and rent stabilization of some kind. I know that's a very sensitive point, but you know that's something that people are really looking at now. So those are two groups. And also, we've passed on, because there's been a lot of demolition and displacement, especially in Lower Ocean, and we've been passing on to these groups, and they've been actually going there to try to help them, you know, to have some representation, you know, either with the landlord or, because basically they get 30 notice and that's it.
We relax some of the rules about the ADUs. We can certainly do that, and the city could start looking into being a partner in some of the, like, purchasing an apartment building and get involved that way, because I think it's going to take a multi-pronged approach.
To do it, because of statistics we've seen, for every 100 units that are built at market rate, which is what the city is planning, they're planning loss of market rate. You need 43 units for lower income people who will be having the jobs serving, like all the hotels they're building will be needing.
And if we don't house them, then they're going to be on the freeway, okay? And they're going to be on the street. So this isn't really helping the transit.
Spend, you know, there's a talk about a quality of life bond, you know, where they're going to, you know, put in hundreds of million to the wharf, and, you know, if you could look at the Civic, but I think that we should be